Grace to you and peace from the one who creates all things, redeems all things, and sustains all things. Amen. The Gospel of John begins just like Genesis. As John says, in the beginning was the Word, and all of that, what should ring in our ears is the other beginning that we hear. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. As Genesis unfolds, we learn about light and dark, land and sea and creatures, and finally about the human ones. In that Genesis mythos, in that Genesis account, Adam and Adama have conversations with God. Words. Talk. They just talk together. It's a powerful conversation in which God says, look, everything that I have made, you can have. Anything you want to do, you can do, except for this one thing. And it was that one thing they simply had to do. God spoke, and surprisingly, the people, the human ones, didn't listen. But the conversation did not end there. The conversation was not over. As you know, in that creation myth, everything collapses. God said all of those things, the people sinned, so eventually God had to find a different way to speak. So after, you know, the first murder and all of the things that happened early in Genesis, God notes that the word has developed into kind of a biblical cesspool. People begin to do whatever they want, and they're murdering each other, and all of God's plans seem to be going in the wrong direction, and so God begins to speak in a different way, through rain. 40 days and 40 nights it rains, and all that had been created is destroyed, except for Noah and his family, and one or two of every creature. God spoke in a different way. Everything is destroyed. And God has a new word. God speaks a new promise in the form of a rainbow, and it all begins again. But you all know the story about Noah, right? I've always found it so fascinating that we have children's books with the story of Noah. Because Noah is not a good creature. He certainly would not be in the list of top 10 examples for your children to follow, right? Noah is just sort of a strange character. And almost immediately, God having spoken this promise into being, almost immediately, things begin to disintegrate. God speaks and people do whatever they want to anyway. God gives a promise in the form of a rainbow, and still the promise seems not to be heard. But the conversation is not over yet. So God chooses Moses. And Moses and God lead God's people out of slavery. And now instead of rain or rainbows, God wonders if perhaps people were not such great conversationalists after all. So God writes it down this time. Maybe if I write it down, not just as one promise or one word, but 10 promises, 10 chances to get it right, maybe they'll get it. It seems like a good number. But the people liked golden calves and food and drink and other gods. And they simply couldn't listen, even when God wrote it down. But the conversation was not yet over. The people, seeing all the people around them, said, hey, maybe we need judges. And so God gave them judges, and that didn't work. And then they said, but look, there are all of these wonderful kings. Maybe if we had a king, maybe the conversation would be a better conversation. And so they brought kings, even the greatest king of all, King David of the wandering eye. And still the people did whatever they wanted. But the conversation was not over. Temples, palaces, more limits, more rules, a wonderfully detailed and tightly defined religious experience for God's people began to develop, and even the practices of worship and all of those kinds of things. And eventually the Christians came around, and I don't know, we had colors and funny clothes, and none of that still seemed to get right. All of these things began to develop, and yet God was trying to have this conversation, and we could not listen. But clearly, according to John, the conversation was not over. And so God sent a son, and a new conversation ensued. It was different than the rest. No disembodied voice, no Ten Commandments given by a guy in a long beard who later came to be the head of the NRA. Instead, God sends a child that dwelt among us. The Word, the words, the Logos became flesh and dwelt with us in a new conversation. No longer was God separate from us. No longer was God different than us. Somehow, some way, the conversation becomes enfleshed. Blood and flesh and voice and hands. That's the conversation God has with us today. Not a conversation based in power or glory or amassed wealth or complicated religious practices, but a child. And that's the conversation God is having with us now. As the new year begins, I wonder what that conversation will sound like. Right now, the conversation seems to be sort of raging around about whether or not there should be religion or spirituality. And so, you ever notice there's people like to make little posters, and then they post them on Facebook or someplace on the net. And it's usually two or three lines, which then describes in its entirety, all of philosophy and religion. It is the truth in three lines or less. A couple of weeks ago, someone started to circulate this thing that's really caught on, and it says, religion is people sitting in church thinking about kayaking. Spirituality is people sitting in kayaks thinking about God. You can figure out for yourself which one is apparently better. But there's this ongoing rule. There's ongoing war about all of this. Religion is people sitting in church thinking about kayaking. Spirituality is people sitting in a kayak thinking about God. But I wonder if perhaps faith is people who have stopped sitting altogether and have lifted up their heads in hope and have begun to live out God's new conversation. It's a conversation that may be different than what we're used to. God has fleshed God's self and stands right in the midst of us, having a conversation about what the world will be like and what we will be like. Somehow, it's not wrapped up in our religious practice or our personal spirituality, but in engaging each other and the world in a conversation of God's new creation. And it means that that conversation involves politics and justice. It involves getting involved in the stuff around us in every fleshed-in way. that we can no longer protect ourselves in the midst of our religious practice and say, well, this is what the conversation is. If we could just have the right religious practice and the right number of services and remember to put the Kyrie in the bulletin, everything will be okay. But this word made flesh and a child draws us deeply and powerfully back into the world. The conversation as Christ's body present today is not limited to a little club, but it is a conversation that happens with creation and with environment, with those we love and those who we hate, those who we and those who fear to change us. There's a daring in that conversation that we're drawn into in a new way by this God who is the Word made flesh. Once again, the conversation is not over. It is just begun. And the question for us is whether we will stop sitting and lift up our heads in hope. Enter into that conversation blessed, dancing. I love this wonderful reading. With weeping they shall come. I'll let them walk by brooks of water. All of these things will begin to happen, it says in Jeremiah, and I will turn their mourning into joy. This is my favorite part, and I will give the priests the fill of their fatness, and my people shall be satisfied. It is a new year and a new time, and God is not yet done with the conversation. And may we enter into it in fullness and joy for the sake of the one who was made flesh and truly, truly dwells with us. Amen.